When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's bring in Trista on a Monday.
TK, where you at, girl?
I'm out.
Oh, okay. Look like you were in
but
an
I
office.
But I just feel like my mic is, I feel like my camera is so far away. I mean, so close.
The light, you look perfect.
The lighting looks a little, it looks like professional. And when I say professional, I mean like, you know, office lights. It looked like the lighting was a little different.
No, it's just I've got all the little room lights on. Okay. It's not as good as a. Maybe we'll put a little oomph in it and see if I can find a ring light.
Shout out
in
Jagged
here
Edge,
soon.
Bitch! Shout out Jagged Edge.
Yeah, you like shout out Jagged Edge. I'm glad I can't find it.
It's bad here, bro.
Oh, I caught a little.
It's bad.
Caught a little.
It's bad.
That
not good.
The doomsday scenario was already discussed, which is we got the light coming on and off. We got a ghost here. Maybe it's the ghost of Rich Paul. And
I don't think Rich is dead, but I don't think he has a ghost. Do you have ghosts if you're alive?
Well, you can roll over in your grave.
Well, you can roll over in your grave. That's correct. Rich Paul's rolling over in his grave right now, thinking about De'Aaron Fox.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I see that you guys are going through all the different possibilities. And have you guys discussed the possibility of this just happening mid-season?
De'Aaron leaving?
Yeah, the trade going down.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about it happening today.
Yeah, see, the thing is, it's hard to have belief, you know? And you're seeing this occur in other situations around the NBA too, which is teams are waiting too long to get what they need to get for their players. And doing that when the player is on an expiring or the player has already requested a trade, it kind of disintegrates your leverage, right? Like Portland probably should have traded Dame before when he was flirting around with saying after that Denver Nuggets series, I'm not sure if you guys remember the one because I'm still scarred from it, where CJ McCollum's foot was out of bounds when they passed him the ball. I'm not sure where it was.
Was that the series with the three overtime game?
Yes. Where Dame had like a bajillion. Yeah, he went full like God mode, and Kevin Durant was talking about how Dame Lillard was the best point guard on the planet, and we still lost that game. And it was just a very sad series, considering that Portland had beaten Denver before Game 7, 2019. Mm-hmm. That was when I knew, like, that was the game where I kind of knew that CJ and Dame were never going to work together. And Dame probably was going to, he was very frustrated, and all the energy after that started to change. And he was like, listen, I need to compete. And if I can't compete, we're going to have to talk about it. And you're going to need to get me reinforcements. The pressure started to mount. And then he got married. And so then there was like this new commitment to commitment. And like he was saying, I'm a warrior. I'm going to like fall. I'm going to like die with the shield in my hand.
A new commitment to commitment is awesome.
So especially considering that him and his wife at the time had been, I want to say, college sweethearts, and it has had been a little like yes and no, right? Mm-hmm. And so new commitment to the Blazers, new commitment to I forget the gal's name. Anyway, so there was this big article on The Athletic that came out about him being like the samurai. And he was like, I'm going to die with the shield in my hand. And it's not about, read the article, guys, because it's wild in hindsight, right? Knowing what ended up happening. And I was like, this is BS. This is about as ephemeral as, you know, the other ones. And so... And you kind of know, you're talking to me nice right now. You're talking to everyone nice right now. And he had said that he like reconnect God, no shade to God. But like, it was kind of a full package of like, I'm not sure if I believe you. And that was the Blazers' downfall, is believing that. So to me, and now you've got the same issue, not saying that it's the same.
Oh, I found it.
At all.
Hold on.
Did you find it?
Wearing a smile and preaching optimism, Dame Lillard is back with his shield and a message. He is not giving up on Portland. Oh, man.
It was such a great article, guys. It was so funny.
Oh, that's
so
tough.
So funny.
That is
It really
tough.
Was like a samurai analogy that he gave. I didn't make that up. That was what it was. So don't be that. Like Sacramento, don't be on the other end.
Don't be the samurai.
Don't be on the other end of those, you know? Because
oh,
you know it's
man.
Starting to dwindle down. And on a lesser scale, because this guy's not on the same caliber as Dame or Deere. But like the Wizards should have traded Kyle Kuzma like so long ago. 2021 most likely. If you wait, Brandon Podziemski was like at his stock was at an all time, you know, at a very high point this offseason. The Warriors say no to trading him. And now he reveals himself to be not nearly as good as people thought he was in his rookie season. Same thing with Jaime Hawkins, actually. But now the Warriors are open to trading Brandon Podziemski. I'm sorry. That's not when you make those deals. You don't fiscally trade players when you think they're not that good, or you know that they want to leave, and everyone also knows they want to leave. Mm-hmm. You have to have some sort of information gap where you're like, okay, everyone else thinks this player is hot. Everyone else thinks this player is committed. We kind of aren't so sure, but this is going to extract the maximum value. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a lot back. People aren't going to try to do what Miami tried to do to Portland. Right. And that's what I want for if you can't have a contending team with De'Aaron Fox on it, because it's going to take a long time for this team to build more young players that can turn into something. Maybe that I don't know. I think Kenny still believes because Kenny's a lifetime optimist. I don't believe that. So you might as well get a bunch of picks and young players from like the San Antonio Spurs, like get yourself a Devin Vassell, get yourself, you know, a bunch of first round picks, figure it out. And don't wait until next season to do it. I don't think that is a good idea at all.
So the thing, because I was like big on trading Dame Lillard, like trade him. Like it's not going to work. The timelines, I guess, for lack of a better word, were a little different. I looked at Portland and I said, you guys have gone as far as you can go with this guy. You've had some great playoff moments, the bye-bye, the shot against the Rockets, and you've had those moments. And it's not going to go any further than what it did. You should move on from him right now. Now, with De'Aaron Fox, on the outside looking in, you may be saying it's not going to go any farther than what it is. Trade him right now. But I don't want to say the goal isn't a championship. People would be happy in the current time if you said the Kings are gonna make the playoffs, maybe win a series or two for the next 3 years. Sign up. Like if you ask Kings fans right now, would you re-sign De'Aaron Fox And that meant that you probably, no, probably. You're never going to win a championship under his contract, but you'll have the same experience that Portland had with Dame Lillard. I think the majority of people would sign up for that and be like, okay.
Yeah.
Do it. Now, Portland,
they'd bitch and complain when we don't get to the next level, but that's part of the fun and what we
right.
do.
Mm-hmm. And at the time, Portland had already experienced that. And then it was like, all right, do we re-sign Dame and keep going on this ride, or do we move on? And it's like, it's time to move on. But
they re-signed him and then moved on.
That was
because you know what he said is he said he wanted to be a Blazer for life. That's what he said.
Well, he believes in Portland because he's a samurai. I just read the article. He's on his shield, and he's got a message.
Chatty House, look it up. It's tremendous.
Oh, it is.
Put that in the YouTube link. But here's the thing. Maybe Kings fans sign up for that. But does De'Aaron sign up for that? And that's really the question that you have to ask. If you said De'Aaron, all you're going to do with the Kings is go to a couple, like we'll call it three playoffs, and you'll win two series one time. What does he say about that?
So Dame brought it up last night on Sports Sunday. We don't know.
Or TV that, stars, Trista.
That might be, if you do all that and say, hey, you're going to get an All-NBA in there and you're going to make $300 million and be respected around the league as a good ball player, there's worse. Okay. He might do that. He might say, there's worse. That's cool. Or he might say, no, I want to win at all costs. I'll take less money or something. The whole point was, Damian said, I don't know. I don't know who De'Aaron Fox is. And that's part of the problem. Like, we don't really know. We don't know what motivates this guy. We don't know what pushes him. Mm-hmm. Is it money? Is it just being good at basketball? Like, do you just want to be a good basketball player and nothing else? Is it winning? Like, nobody really knows. People can assume, which is dangerous. And I promise you this, if people assume, it's not he wants to win at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
It probably leans more towards he don't really care that much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that, but I'm saying that's what he gives off.
Who do you guys know anyone that feels like they know him at all? Like, is he just insulating himself where he is like unknowable to those who are outside of his inner circle?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it actually does.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody in this city, I guess media wise, you could say that they have a good understanding on who De'Aaron is. Once again,
if only you guys had a Chris Haynes, you know.
Oh yeah, like a Chris. Yeah, yeah, like Chris, Chris the Dame.
Yeah. You know, Dame Whisperer. You know, like. We always knew it.
Fox's Chris
Haynes. Yes.
He probably didn't see this article where Chris did a whole like inside the Dame barbecue. Like he did this, like it was around the time of the commitment to the commitment stuff. And he did like a walk and talk with Dame, and he's like it from Dame's living room, and like it was literally like very POV, you know? Like it was like a vlog. You know, but what in print form of like, you know, this and Dame is like eating barbecue with his sisters and he hugs them and there's construction in the background and, you know, his beautiful compound is being built, his dream home. You know, it was like that, too. If only De'Aaron had like someone who's like inside who could give us at least like a little idea of what.
And he need to go Omar Epps
in getting too deep. You ain't no cop, Jay Reed. You ain't no cop, Jay Reed.
And you gotta get in with the family.
But like, so, and this is where, because nobody knows. That's why, like, I try not to like put labels on guys without knowing them, right? But I can say that if nobody knows, and everybody is just playing armchair therapists and psychologists, and looked at De'Aaron Fox for this 8 times, they probably say, they would say, he's not tripping that much off any of this. Like, he doesn't burn to win. He just wants to be good.
So then why is the...
Why is he saying that? And why won't he just sign the extension then?
Because it, well...
Because he can say, I'm waiting, I want to make all NBA and make more money. Like, it makes... He could have said, and I think Donovan said it last year when Tim Bontemps was on his campaign. He's like, I make more money if I sign next season. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do. Like, De'Aaron can say that, but we've got the, wow, which is a, this is a clutch MO. Like, don't get it twisted. This is a clutch thing. LeBron has done it from the beginning of his career. Or no, I take that back. LeBron has done it since he went to Miami. I'm going to put, I'm not going to sign these deals before I have to. I'm going to put pressure on my team to be better, huh?
Bunch of one and ones.
Yeah.
You know, LeBron was the king of the one and one deal. Yeah. 1 year, mom. She's so excited because the threads are growing. So she's literally sent me a text right now that this girl is on fire.
Are you?
Mom, I'm on the air.
Are you? Wait, did she send the Alicia Keys song to go with it?
She sent music notes.
No, wait a minute. Be fair. Be fair. You're normally on with us
it
Tuesday.
Is Monday, yeah.
She doesn't know.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's gonna be upset. She's gonna be upset to find out you were on with us and didn't tell her.
What's up, Mama Crick?
You know what? Way to spin it. That's just a good. That's it. You'd be a good one to bring home, Damien. I'll just say that. Siding with Mama Crick, she would. Yep.
I'd be a great one to bring home. I'll smile the whole time. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But yeah, we don't know De'Aaron Fox, and that's, we don't have to know him. I think what we are hoping for.
Don't you want that from your marquee player though, at least a little bit?
Yeah, it'd be nice, it'd be great, but like if we have the same outlook on De'Aaron or anything that we have right now that we just discussed, and his team is 18-9, is anybody tripping off of it? They're like, no, like we're winning. Like, I don't need to know who De'Aaron Fox is. I know we're winning. And that's all that matters. That's, at the end of the day, with us, that's all that really, really matters.
Mm-hmm. Why is
trauma.
Why is Memphis? Why is Memphis so good this year?
That's such a mystery to me. You know what I mean? Like, I also don't quite know. I think Zach Edey is much better than we thought he was going to be. Even with injuries, though, like, they've still found a way to win. This Jalen Wells kid, he's probably
Sacramento stand up.
Yeah, like Jalen Wells might be one of the better like draft selections. Honestly, you look at him and Ja, obviously consistently playing at like Ja level, which I think is the most electric player on any given Tuesday in December that you're going to find. I don't have a good answer for Memphis, and I don't know how much of that's regular season and how much of that is playoff built. What do you see? When you watch them, what do you
see? Well, one, they have a great bench.
Yep.
They have a group of guys who just go out there and play and can score. They have an identity. Whether you like their identity or not, they have one. They're all jerks, every single one of them. And then you have Ja, and you talk about taking on the personality of your leader. You talk about taking on the personality of your best player. They do that with Ja Morant. And it drives me crazy looking at their roster and looking at the Kings roster going, how is this a 9-loss team right now? They're like 20, what are they, 20-9, something like that?
20-9, yep. 20-9, and you look at the roster and there's just a lot of random names. There's just like, other than Desmond Bane and Ja, you've got like Scottie Pippen Jr. and Desmond Bane combined for 45 points the other night. No Ja in there. And they beat the hell, beat the brakes off the Hawks, which in the Hawks are not a bad team. I think that they're, you're right. There's just like a cohesive unit to this team. And I think it's probably a part of what Taylor Jenkins has put together. I don't know, guys. Like everything in relation to the Kings doesn't make sense, right? Because this roster, the Kings roster on paper looks better than the Grizzlies roster. But sometimes it's not just the names and what they can do. It's how you assemble the team.
So, Trista, I've been on this fix all day that really stood out to me on Saturday. I don't know if you got a chance to see the game. I don't even know if it came off this way on TV. But I was at the game, and LeBron is just stomping a mud hole in the Kings. And every time he scores, he's yelling at the crowd. He's doing the, get him off my shoulders, and all that. And he's just stomping around the Golden 1 Center. Poor little Isaac Jones, he like was shoulder and shoulder with him on the break. LeBron gets a layup and just looks at Isaac Jones and, you bleepity bleep, I'm a bleepity bleep, and just flexing on. And I'm like, yo, somebody do something about this. Like, this guy is out here just dominating you and telling you about it. You're not doing a damn thing. And sometimes it doesn't matter, sometimes it does. I remember, because Legends had the clip, I think. The last time, I think it was last year for sure, the Lakers going to Memphis, and it was a close game, and late in the game, LeBron gets a dunk, breakaway dunk, dunks it, they go up by like four, kind of seal the game or whatever, and his momentum takes him in front of the Grizzlies bench. And LeBron, he's like, ooh, like this, like right in front of Ja Morant and all those guys. And then he starts backpedaling, go, ooh, like this. Ja walks off the court, or excuse me, off the bench, onto the court, and is like, all right, homeboy, I'm going to see you doing something like that. I'm going to see you. I do all that while I'm not here right now. And LeBron is, you know, he's having a good time. He's like, ooh, 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 ooh. But Ja was like, nah, bro. Wait till I get back on the court. They played them this first time. They beat the brakes off the Lakers. And that's just the mentality thing, right? Like, Ja wasn't going to fight them. But he's like, no, you're not going to come in here and just start styling on us. I'm going to see you again. I'm going to see you again. You come in here styling on me, and you may beat me. You may get me. I don't know. But you're not just going to come in here styling without some type of fight. And that's something that is just missing. You think, what, anybody from the Kings would do that if LeBron dunked and was by their bench? They'd probably take a seat. They probably take a seat. They wouldn't even step. They just, oh, sorry, King. I'll sit down. That's what they do. Them boys are soft. That's a long roundabout way of saying it. The Grizzlies aren't soft, and the Kings are.
I think DeRozan would kind of try to put a stop to that.
He was there on Saturday. He didn't do nothing.
So that leads us to, like, that's the other.
He had 2 points that game.
No, that was last night.
One of seven last night. That's the other thing we can't figure out. It feels like there's something that is causing this team the inability to function properly. And whether it's a rift between players, a frustration with the coaching staff. I don't know if DeMar was trying to make a point last night. I don't know what that was, but DeMar DeRozan shooting seven times is crazy.
Mm. Yeah, I saw that and I was like, is he hurt? Mm. Like, what is going on with that? That felt like either a peaceful protest or like somebody that was banged up. It doesn't smell great. I just think in general, the vibes, you feel like there's culturally, you know, like the... how it was, you know, that fateful year, you know, with the photo
one
shoot.
Year.
That flash, you know, that was just like all the vibes were just so saucy and everyone was just meshed. And you could tell the love was there. The love was just like all the way there. Like, we have each other's backs. And maybe the things have worn off. The sheen has worn off. And you've got a bunch of guys that are really good in pieces, and I don't know how they really fit together. I love Sabonis. However, in order for this roster to be better, you need other pieces around him for him to function at his best as well. And he's been a pretty decent rim protector for a guy that's like undersized. But I think they're just, I don't know. Like you said, it doesn't make sense. And I feel like there's an athletic tell-all coming.
Well, if it did, it might center on Mike and Domas, because I don't think those two are on the same page.
Yeah.
And I don't know the origins of their rift. Like, we hear things that I've heard them from a couple of people that it's, we'll leave that to Sam Amick. Sam can put that stuff out or whatever, but there's a disconnect between Mike and Domas, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know why it exists, but it appears there's one there.
Real quick before I go, because I know you guys got to let me go, and I see you looking at the clock, but like, it does kind of feel
like... We can do what we want
like,
to. Like, no one cares. Okay. We're the only people here. We can do whatever we want. Like, what are we going to do?
What are they gonna do? Listen, it does feel like Mike's holding grudges. Like, Mike needs therapy. Like, Mike does need to kind of figure out where his trauma's at, because he's been going through it with Malik. He's been going with Kayvon. He's been going with Keon. He's now... There's rumors and rumblings about friction between him and Domas. Like, really good coaches, you're not hearing that. You just don't.
Yeah.
And if you do, it's like direct in the media. Like, remember Ime Udoka was throwing players under the bus in Boston. And then, like, at the end of the day, they all come together because kind of they all know what time it is. It feels like there's, like, sneak dissing going on. There's grudges happening. Like, you're getting iced out of sequences. I don't know what it is, but it does kind of feel like... Are you putting something up for me to see?
No, I was trying to start a tweet without throwing you off, but I hit... You have to go all the way to the right side, and I threw you off anyways. Yes, that's what I did. I do want to point this out.
Is it just me, or is that kind of like the vibes?
No, there's a lot. 100%. A lot of that going on.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I do want to point out to our man, G Money, who said, why would Fox's agent fly into town unless Fox asked him to? He's planning his exit. Well, sir, they were playing the Lakers.
Yeah.
Three of his clients were on the floor at the same time. Like, I'd put my money on that more than, hey, Rich, you got to get here, man. This thing's going south. Like, no, man, LeBron and AD are here. Let me go see my man, De'Aaron Fox.
But let's be honest. That's like the cream of the crop kind of thing. Like, the LeBron 1A, AD as it relates to Bron. And then kind of like, you know, De'Aaron's important. He's going to get his bag, and so he's still and he's headed into a contract year.
Well,
so
in terms of clutch clients, he's got to be really high on the list.
Top five.
Yep. Top five. Yeah. I mean, Draymond's top five just because of the.
Okay.
They don't have that many clients, does it?
No, and he's had like the Ben McLemore's. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Ben McLemore was a clutch guy. Like, he's had you know, kind of the. Those
he had Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, was Nerlens the one that sued him?
Correct.
Oh. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That's when it. Yeah.
Sorry,
that's
Rich.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rich.
Whoops. Sorry, that one didn't go as planned.
What are you doing for Christmas?
I'm gonna go over to my second family's house over in Sterling, Virginia, and we're gonna do the Feast of the Seven Fishes tomorrow. I think that's what it's called. They give them a bunch of fish, you know, a bunch of meals of fish. I don't know. Anybody in the chatty house know this? I don't know. I'm not religious, so I'm just rolling my first.
Of seven fishes.
Google that.
Is that right?
The Feast of Seven Fishes is an Italian-American celebration of Christmas Eve with dishes of fish and other seafood. Christmas Eve is a visual or fasting day, and the abundance of seafood reflects the observance of abstinence from meat until the Feast of Christmas Day itself. It's fascinating to me. So,
sounds delicious, actually.
Oh, so good. Yeah, so delicious. Good. What were you going to say? I think we're going to go off air if there's too long of a delay.
No, I'm just like an abstinence from meat until the Feast of Christmas Day itself.
Pause.
Wait,
pause.
Yo.
The Feast of Christmas meat.
Begging for a...
What's going on? What are we...
Go ahead. Go ahead. I see the flag in your hand. Just throw it. Just throw it. Goodness gracious. Hold.
It's my favorite day of the year, the Christmas Eve Feast of the Seven Fishes. So I'm not going to lie to you.
So this isn't your first Feast of the Seven Fishes?
No, I just don't really think about like the origins of it. I'm not like a... get deep into the meaning of things.
And also, things. I'm terrible at these things. Are you Italian?
No, and neither are they. Neither are they. So I think, I don't know. I'm not sure what the deal is with that, but they'll make like a clam chowder or like a lobster bisque. They'll do crab legs. Mm. They'll do salmon. Mm. They'll do mussels. They'll do...
The meal's components may include some combinations of anchovies, lobster, sardines, bacala, which is a dried salt cod.
I don't think he won't do that.
Something called smelts.
Not interested.
No, eels, no, no. You won't do any of that. We're going to do all the normal
squid,
stuff.
Squid.
Fish.
Octopus.
No,
shrimp,
no, no.
Mussels, shrimp, and clams.
Shrimp, yeah. So it's all the fish, and I think it's like...
What is a
big? It's a big procedure. Smelt, you don't want anything to do with smelt.
That doesn't sound like I want anything to do with smelt.
If so, imagine somebody comes out, what do we have? Fried smelts? What?
No.
What?
Not going to be able to make it, dog.
They'll do like a crab dip too, like so you get like some little crackers.
So it's just an excuse to make a bunch of seafood. I'm with it.
A lot of it.
The tradition comes from southern Italy. The celebration commemorates the wait for the midnight birth of baby Jesus. Mm. Okay.
Maybe we need to get in on this.
It doesn't sound bad.
Catholic, might be the Catholic thing. They're Catholic.
I don't know. Well, here it is. The long tradition of eating seafood on Christmas Eve dates from the Roman Catholic tradition of abstaining from eating meat on the eve of feast day.
I guess I can't do
it. I think that's what it is.
I thought it was just something that they just stopped.
I'm so fascinated by this, as no meat or animal fat could be used on such days. So so seafood isn't considered.
No.
No.
It's still in the fish realm.
Yeah.
Land animal.
I don't understand.
Different land animal would be meat.
No,
and then everything else. Yeah.
Okay. So when you're eating lobster, what are you eating?
Fish. You're eating seafood.
Seafood, not fish. Seafood. Yeah. Fish.
You're eating a crustacean.
That's what I was thinking of.
Okay.
Crustacean. Yeah. Like under the sea
chicken.
And Little Mermaid. Well, I think he was a crab, but you know what I mean. Another crustacean.
It was a crab.
So it's another. It's just a different crustacean.
Correct.
So we're abstaining from animal fat, but we're going to go ahead and throw this live crab into this bowling pot. And we're going to feast on that.
I try not to pay attention to that moment.
Yeah, because there's no organs, right? Like I think there's a hierarchy of animals and like what it's like to kill them, right? And so I think that the fish, they don't think fish and seafood are as meaningful as like cows and pigs. And yeah,
it's kind of crazy. It's some kind of ist.
Okay.
It's some kind of ist. I don't know. But yeah, no, they people feel that way.
Seven fishes. Can you post pictures? I'm very
curious. Oh, you know, I
very
will do
curious.
That.
Very, very
it's
curious.
It's going to be popping. I haven't had fish at all since that fish poisoning I got in Summer League.
Oh, my. Yes.
I have been abstaining past Christmas Eve. I've been abstaining since July. So this will be my first embarkment into fish and seafood.
Welcome back.
Tomorrow.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, like Mace. Welcome back. That's what I'll do with the little crab. Welcome back.
Right before you throw it in the water and watch its demise.
Now, see, once again, I don't partake in that one. The crabs are already dead by the time that I get to them.
Yes, by the time you get to them.
Yeah, well, that's
Chef Q.
Chef Q throws live once a day.
Well, Chef Q posted a reel the other day asking, would you like to see, do you want to see the food before we cook it? And no, we don't. No, like, what sort of, like, serial killers frequent those places where it's like, hey, pick the lobster out of the tank and you pick it up and
watch us
throw it into the boiling water.
I used to go to a place on Florin Road that used to do that. And I was like, that's
bro,
crazy.
Bro, I am not getting a lobster from Florin Road with all
this. Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that to the, what was it called? It was called like the China.
It's called Red Lobster.
The Chinese bowl or something right there off of Florin and 24. It was legit. Don't do that. It was legit.
Okay.
But it didn't make it. But
Now
Wayne's Walk, they got a C grade, so that would be different. I used to love.
We know Damien's not going to be doing any homesteading, like with a little cow or chickens. My mom, here's a little quick story. My mom, we had when I lived in Northern California before we moved to Portland, we had chickens, and I was about 4 years old, and I'm not sure what her deal was, but they killed the chickens and asked me, the four-year-old, to pluck the feathers off the dead chickens, bro. What? No.
Nah, man.
No.
No, we can't be doing that.
I just gave this chicken a name, and now it's dead. Now I'm pulling the feathers off of it for my own consumption. Ugh. It's just too much. It's too close to the process.
Damn. Did you wind up eating your friend?
Yeah.
To do what you had to do, you were hungry. And what you had to do. And shout out to everybody in the chat. Rice Bowl. Shout out to Rice Bowl right there on 4 and 24th. That was some good stuff. They had the lobsters and the crab in an aquarium right there, and you'd pick it out. And, well, they wouldn't show you, but you'd pick it out. All right, got them. And 20 minutes later, they're back. So
that's kidnapping. That's like, it's literally kidnapping
and murder. It's kidnapping, torturing, and murder.
I didn't do.
I think you're close, Damien, to being a vegan. Like, you're close.
I was for a long time.
We've dabbled. Yeah, it's sad, you know. I went to a pumpkin patch this year, and you just see these cute little pigs.
It is sad.
And you don't think like bacon, you know. You just think like, oh man.
Do you think if the roles were reversed, they would not eat us? A lion.
That's a lion?
Yeah.
That's a high ass question to ask.
A bear.
No, yeah, I think they.
Oh, a bear would eat us for sure.
Yeah, so we got to do what we got to do. Because we're good to them. Like, yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but do you think the bear's just going to come like.
We're not.
Mr. Caraway, it's your time, buddy. Taking you over here to this slaughter shop, throwing you in there.
Nah, it's terrible.
The only time bears eat us is if we encounter them.
That's right. That means
they're hunting us.
The bears are like sharks. If you get eaten by a bear, you're somewhere you're not supposed to be. If you get bit by a shark, that's your fault. Well, you went to the wrong place.
I understand that.
You literally walked into their house and then get mad when they bite your leg off.
But what we do is walk right into their house. With platoons and guns and whatever else work, and then we take them out.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be like if we knocked on your little garage. Hey, excuse me, we're looking for Casey. It's your time to go. It's your time to come with us into the boiling water.
Imagine you're just out there shooting hoops, and then the bear comes. Like,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, that sounds rough. Sir. But I'm not.
They're hiding in the bushes.
Hey, bears,
you know,
like bears like dark meat too.
I ain't
so
stop it. Whoa.
They got their essential hood on. They're trying to like.
The field
see?
Judge.
They got their essentials on. That's around. Right. That's right.
They're just walking this around pretending they're one of us.
And down goes Kenny.
Well, I'll tell you like this. I'm glad that's not the case. So, so I'm going to keep. Well, I've never had bear. So I can't say I'm going to eat bear, but. I have never had lion either, but yeah, we're just going to keep eating. We're going to keep eating the fish.
Well, that's fine. I was just asking questions. I just think it's whatever. Enjoy. I just can't wait to see the pictures of it.
I'm going to send them. I'm putting them online and I'll send them to y'all in the group chat.
I love that you said you're going to put them online. Like you're going to post them on Facebook.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hook. Well, the group chat is really just me and her.
Yeah.
Well, that's just Kenny, let's be honest. Like,
what?
You don't respond to the text.
That's not true. Yeah. When am I getting text?
Well, we're not.
He knows.
See what I'm saying?
I know. He does know. He has at least 7 unread text messages for me right now.
That's a lie. Let's see. I'm at
Jesus.
I'm at
and you guys
I'm
are
at
on a
36
show
unopened texts.
People are shocked to find out we don't actually talk to each other.
I saw Damien on Saturday night and said two words to him.
That's facts. High and bye.
At the party?
It was high and bye. No.
You guys
Oh, it was the party. That's right. That's a true story. We didn't talk to each other at all.
Hey, what's up, big dog? What's up, baby? How you doing, man?
And then just went away. Get away from this dude. That's funny. Now, that wasn't intentional.
I mean, there are a lot of people there.
I wound up in a meeting at the party.
Of course, you're pitching something. You got something.
No, it wasn't that kind of meeting.
Oh, uh-oh.
I was having a clear the air session with somebody.
Oh, man.
And then I found out they were watching on a camera.
What?
I found this out later. I kept thinking, it's really odd that some people out there aren't trying to reach us. And then I realized they were like, hey, where's D'Lo and such and such? Oh, they're in Complex's studio. And apparently there was someone who will remain nameless goes, you know, there's a camera in there. And so we were having our clear it out session in front of the whole programming staff.
Yikes.
Oh, you'll be stunned to learn I don't get along with a lot of people. So,
well, I literally texted you because I said something like, what's it like for you to like your coworkers? And you said it makes the ones that you don't like really obvious. So that was perfect. That was literally 3 hours before the party.
It's a true story. It's a true story. Merry Christmas, TK. Love you.
Merry Christmas,
love you guys.
TK.
See you after the holiday or next week?
No, we'll see you after the holiday.
Yeah.
See you after the holiday.
All right, buddy.
Take care, TK.
Who knows what shape the Kings will be in by then.
That's a good question. Talk about that when we come back or whatever, but what will they look like when we come back?
I'm so fascinated by this Feast of the Seven Fishes.
It sounds delicious.
You know, Chef Q's got this seafood platter. It's absolutely bananas. It's $200 or something, but it's crazy.
I need to pull up on Chef Q. I really do. I really do. What percentage do you have it at the Kings looking the same on January 2nd when we come back for a show? Nothing's happened.
Is that a tease, or do you want me to answer when we get back?
Answer when you get back.
Stilo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, 916-909-1320. If you want to get in on the phone lines, you can. They'll stay open all day. No James at the top of the hour. We told him to go ahead and start his vacation. Well, I thought we were going to play Boys to Men, but
let it snow.
Stupid ass Big Mike probably took him out of the system.
He's really going to be a sad kid on Christmas getting a Kings jersey.
A lot of
them. Hey, you buy
well, the
for,
tough
the
par- one,
for the parents out there, I hope you bought the right one.
So the tough one yesterday was I grabbed a De'Aaron Fox jersey for someone and was like, okay, which one does he want? De'Aaron. Are we sure? What about Malik?
Yeah.
Oh, he loves Malik, but I think he's got a Malik jersey. How about Domas? Oh, he just got a Domas jersey.
Mm.
Okay. Well, let's get the five then. Mm. Let's get the five and cross
That's
our
risky.
Fingers. Because you asked before, you asked, what was your question before the break? What are the
that's a good question.
Chances? I can't remember how you phrased it.
No. I said, when we come back on January 2nd to do our show,
yeah.
What are the percentages that we have everybody still in place? Coach, GM, players.
Well, so I honestly thought they were going to fire Mike today.
Mm.
That's what I thought. I don't know. I don't think they did. I mean, it's 2:40. I don't think they did.
You know the rules. Wait till 4:01.
Well, that is a rule.
I don't even like those guys.
Well, that's true too. So if they didn't do it today, I don't think they'll do it. So I put that percentage at really high. I don't even know, the trade thing. I can't have they had discussions? Have they talked to anybody? Is there movement on anything? Like, To think they could just pick up the phone and execute a deal today because they have to, or executing a deal on Christmas Day, or I don't know that that's realistic.
And much like the report that came out a couple days ago, I think it was. This was two losses ago, I guess.
Yeah.
The report was something to the effect of, you know, Vivek is holding firm on his feelings, belief, whatever, to not fire somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not move on from anybody. And I was talking to some people after one of the losses, and it was the same thing. It was like, Vivek's like, no, we're going to ride this out. Now, that doesn't, when I say that, I don't think it necessarily means like the players, like maybe he'll sign off on some trades or something like that. But as far as people in positions of authority, front office, coaches, stuff like that, last I heard, he was, no, we're gonna figure this out. So we'll see. We will see what happens. But it feels like...
I'm going to put it at 99%.
That we all come back?
Yeah.
It feels like last night was one where it felt like, hey, somebody's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I don't even know if that's going to fix all the problems, but I'm at the point now with this team that Jesse had talked about maybe about a week ago, like, this group isn't going to get it done. Like, I don't know. I don't know if there's too much that's going on. I don't know if they're just not good enough or whatever. But this group can't get it done.
You're not firing the GM, obviously, because the deadline's coming. You got to let them make some type of move to fix this, I think. Is your next move, are you looking at the coach or the players? You guys, personally.
I'm looking at... I'm making a player move, trade, something like that. That's what I'm doing for my next move.
Carlton asks, change January 2nd to the trade deadline, and what's the percentage deal? It better be 100%. 100% that there should be some change by the trade deadline. Mm. If not, you're just inviting failure. Hmm. You've sat on your hands too many trade deadlines. It's part of the reason you're in this position right now. Mm. Yeah,
What does that look like, though? Like, because it kind of feels like everything that everybody wants to trade, I don't think that'll be enough, especially when you look at how we talk about the rest of the league. They see what's going on with the Kings. Mm-hmm. They know they're desperate.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday's price may not be today's price because you need to do something. You have to do something. And it feels like just saying... I could be wrong, but it feels like just saying Trey and Kevin in a future first is not good enough no more.
Is there a point where Monty can make a move where he's making a move for his job and that kind of just handcuffs his team even more?
Well, maybe. No, because Vivek has to sign off on it too. Like, Vivek has to, like...
And I mean, like, where you, like, just truly overpay, where it's so bad, I have to do something and you do it. It's like, all right, hopefully this works out. Or maybe you do trade Keegan finally or whatever.
I don't know if there is, because, and it's easy to say this right now when you lost four straight. You lost four straight at home, but what?
Yeah, that's a big deal. The four straight at home is a big deal.
Mm-hmm, major deal. But I look at it like when you ask that question, Jesse, I'm like, what future? What future?
Well, I guess if you're still holding on to De'Aaron Fox, well, and DeMontis Sabonis leading you.
No, I know what you mean, but I'm sitting there like... What future with this group,
mm-hmm,
are you holding on to? What future? This group don't have no future. Feels like they barely even can play together. If I was Monty, I would not think about that anymore. I would not think about, oh, this is the core or something like that. Everything and everybody's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to get the best deal. If they're still out here trying to salvage the season, which I don't see any reason why they wouldn't, but salvage the season, turn it around, try to make the playoffs, all this other stuff, Everything is on the table. Anything that would make this team better has to be under consideration.
The Kings, amazingly, are 2.5 games out of a play-in spot. 2.5 games out of the play-in. They're 4 games back from Los Angeles and Denver, who are at 5-6, and 6 back from Dallas, who's at 4th.
Damn, first call. I wish we knew where this was going.
Shout out to the super chatters who just burned money.
We need to figure out who's getting this money.
That's the goal in 2020.
And whoever you are, you owe us about $75.
Yeah.
I mean, this team, it's still there, but they're getting worse. That's the issue. Like, they're trending in the wrong way. They're not even treading water right now.
Mm-hmm.
They are drowning.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like there's no end in sight because, I mean, there's nobody that you can rely on to turn this thing around. You can't rely on the coach.
Nope.
You can't rely on De'Aaron. Can't rely on Domas, on DeRozan. Nobody. Like, you can't rely on these guys to kind of get everything together, galvanize everybody, and get back on the same page.
This went so south so quick.
This feels kind of bad, guys.
So quickly. Like, that's just crazy.
It was, we used to ask. Like, it literally is just 1 year, and now it's done.
1 year.
Unless somehow they're able to fix it, because, I mean, you brought it up. They're not far out of a play-in spot. It's not done.
The tough part is, like, find the sign. Like, if you think the Kings can fix this and get to where we thought they should be, what sign do you see that leads you to believe that?
Well, before yesterday.
Well, yeah, you can't do that, though, because yesterday happened.
Right, because that's what I was going to say. Before yesterday, you could point to the fact that they were playing in close games. Yesterday, they just quit and got beat up. And now that – I think that raised – so many more questions. The way they lost yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they were...
They stopped playing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Just completely stopped.
If it was another close loss, lost by, you know, within 5, and, you know, another close loss, they'd be like, man, they just can't figure it out. Like, it just... You could at least hang their hat on. They haven't quit. They're still competitive. They're right there. You make a 3 or 2 more, or you make a couple free throws. Game is flipped. You win. Something like that. Box out. Da-da-da. Yesterday, you just gave up.
Yep.
And that's tough to come back from. I'll put a caveat on the question that I asked you and maybe give you another opportunity.
January 2nd question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe give you another opportunity to answer a different part of that question. If they lose Thursday, is everybody back?
No. You go 0-5 at home? Can't be.
I agree.
You can't be. I don't see. I mean, I guess I'll just feel like Mike's going to be fired after every game until they win. Mm. Part of me wonders if they beat Detroit and look like crap if he gets fired. I don't know.
How do we feel if they do lose or whatever, and Mike doesn't get the boot, and it's just does get the boot,
uh-huh,
and it's just, all right, like, this is the team, Doug Christie, whoever you want to throw in there, it's like, all right, now we're playing this way. Like, is,
well, that's
that, like, I don't like that at all.
Well, no, it's like,
I don't think Mike is entirely the problem.
I don't know what the problem is. I just know sports, and the coach is usually the one to go, whether that's right or wrong.
I feel this situation be the other way around,
but Mike can't be the move. It's like, all right, Monty, if you're going to put this on Mike, that's fine. You're placing the blame squarely on his shoulders. What are you doing now? What are you doing to improve the fact that Kevin Huerter can't shoot? What are you doing to improve the fact that your fourth overall draft pick has regressed?
If you let Mike Brown go, that just tells me you're thinking is he's the problem, and like if that's what's been holding us back.
If you let Mike Brown go and don't upgrade the roster, you've put this squarely on his shoulders, and that's insane to me.
I don't get doing one without trying moving the players first. Especially you just gave him a contract extension this offseason.